Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric Johansson, teacher and tutor with LSAT Demon. With me is Nathan Fox, one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and the weekly podcast Thinking LSAT. We got an ask button question from a Demon free subscriber.
Okay, cool. Super proud, by the way, of our Demon free offering. We have had, I think we're over 53,000 now free accounts started at LSATdemon.com, and we give a lot of resources to those people for absolutely free. And we've heard tons of people say that they've improved their score a lot just using the free resources that we give away. So I really would encourage everybody to go to LSATdemon.com and sign up for a free account if you haven't already. We think you'll love it. Anyway, this free subscriber says, I'm wondering if and when I should be taking tests. I have made some progress on some of the concepts in the LSAT so far, but if I'm being honest, I still have a long way to go. I don't want to get discouraged by taking a practice test, knowing it's not going to be good. I've taken a couple timed sections, but I didn't do too well. I guess my question is, should I continue to do drilling or should I take timed sections and practice tests? What do you think?
Good question. I think it's important to start doing some timed practice at some point, relatively early. That does not need to be full practice tests, but you should start to condition yourself to ignore the clock by taking timed sections.
Yep.
I've heard this, and I think this is there's an anxiety that a lot of students feel with regards to practice tests, and it just comes down to getting caught up in what the score is. And this student mentions that, says they're worried about getting discouraged from taking a practice test when they know that it's not going to be a good score at the end of it. I would encourage you to think of practice tests not as a way of generating a score, but as a way of practicing, as a way of improving your abilities. And, you know, when I go out to train to run my next foot race, I don't go out every time expecting that I'm going to run a personal best at whatever distance I'm running. I recognize, hey, this is a training day. I'm not going to worry about what the clock said at the end of it because I'm building to something bigger. I'm growing my skills, my abilities as a runner, just like you should be when you're taking practice tests.
It's just another practice test. The purpose of it is to practice. The purpose of it is not to get a diagnostic that determines anything about your ability or future potential. That's not the point. The point is, like Eric said up front, you need to learn how to ignore the clock. You're going to score higher, believe it or not. People are always shocked by this, but you're going to score higher on your timed practice if you ignore the clock entirely. So it's about just getting better at the game that you're going to have to play on actual test day, which we also encourage you to consider just another practice test. But, you know, we want you practicing at least what we always say is one timed section per week of each type. So right now that's one games, one LR, one RC. Probably change that advice come August or post June exam. We'll probably say at least one LR, one RC. Maybe I'll say at least two LR and one RC per week, timed, plus unlimited time for review of every single question you missed on that timed practice. Well, maybe not the ones you didn't get to. I don't care about the ones you didn't get to. I care about the ones you got to and still missed or got to and still struggled with. I really want you to review those questions thoroughly. And again, the point's not to get yourself a diagnostic. You shouldn't get discouraged. Look, you suck at the LSAT right now. So what? All of our new students suck at the LSAT. You're not good at the LSAT right now. That's fine. You're getting better. And if you take a timed section and then you take my advice, which is ignore the clock, you just turn it off. You can turn the clock off. You turn the clock off while you're doing your timed section. You take your time getting as many of them right as you can. Just one at a time, get it right. At the end, you're going to run out of time. You're going to randomly guess on everything at the end of the section. That's fine. Those are the hardest ones anyway. Then you're going to have missed some of those questions. Hopefully not too many. If you're really taking our advice, you're going to slow way down so that you can solve the questions. Once you've solved the questions, you should be getting them right. the ones you don't get right, those are the ones where the LSAT can really teach you something if you let it. So you've got to review thoroughly. And with your demon-free account, you've got written explanations, you've got video explanations, and you've got access to a whole team of tutors behind the ask button. You can use the ask button for free if you sign up for an LSAT demon free account. And that's where the value really comes in, right? You're learning to ignore the clock, and then it's just like what you're doing with your drilling, which is you're doing real LSAT questions, and then you're going to thoroughly review those questions.
I wonder if, so we make this point a lot, and it's really important that time practice is so you learn to ignore the clock.
Yes.
I wonder if we should also say that taking time sections and time tests is also to learn to ignore your score. Maybe we're saying kind of the same thing, but I know students who really struggle to sit down and take a time section or a time test because they're so worried about seeing their score and feeling that judgment way down on them. I wonder if it's also useful to just say, hey, take it, because eventually you're going to need to get over that.
Yeah.
So start practicing ignoring your score.
It's like sports fans who, you know, they're like, imagine a baseball fan, right? Baseball is kind of a weird sport because the best team is going to win like 60% of their games, and the worst team is still going to win like 40% of their games. Mm-hmm. But you still see baseball fans who, if their team loses, your team could be great. Your team could be the Dodgers, and they lose, and then you just declare that the Dodgers suck. Oh my God, such a disaster. I hate the manager. I hate everything about this team, making all the wrong decisions, just doing everything terribly. Why can't this guy hit? Why can't this guy do the other thing? It's like, hey, they're the best team in baseball. They're going to win 60-something percent, though. They're not going to win 100%. And that's how you have to start treating your practice sections and your practice tests. I like that idea that you're going to take practice sections and practice tests to learn to ignore the clock, also to learn to ignore the score, because there's so much randomness day to day in what your actual, you know, that 120 to 180 score. It bounces around a lot within your range, but your range will be slowly improving over time as long as you do the real important part, which is to review all of those mistakes. Anything that you missed, you felt good about it, but you missed it. Oh man, that's a golden opportunity to improve. Or you struggled with it and you got it right. That's also a golden opportunity to improve. Why'd you struggle with it? You did figure it out eventually, but were you kind of guessing? You probably were. And it's the review of those questions that you took seriously. That's where your real learning comes from. And that is just always the point of taking practice tests.
Thanks for that question. Keep up the great work.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.